today, visiting with Mike Wendell from the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, James H. Andrew Railroad Museum. Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. We've been pretty busy, I'll tell you. Our guest speaker program has kicked off.
What did you do last month, didn't you?
Yeah, we did one last month. We started in January, on January 20th.
Okay.
Actually, with Eric Fogg. And then he was talking about Iowa Traction Railway. And then Nebby did February 17th with the Moingona Line. And now we've got coming up Gary Holtzinger this weekend, Saturday, March 16th at 2 p.m. at the museum. It's also Zoom. And he's an author, historian, and passionate Milwaukee Road fan. He's going to provide insight into the little-known Chicago Anamosa Northern Railway called the CAN. And it was an obscure little railroad, 35 miles long, started in 1904 and continued through 1912 and basically disappeared. I died in 1915 and was completely removed by 1917. And so it only lasted 13 years in its entirety and only operated like 11 years. What's really interesting about that is that, doing a little research and not to take anything from what Gary's going to say, where did I see that? Okay. Basically, they were going to run livestock, is what the idea was behind it. And it was supposed to be from organized to carry livestock into Anamosa from points north, interchanging in Anamosa with the Chicago Northwestern. And that was to give livestock shippers access to the Chicago stockyards.
Sure.
And so there's a family apparently in Dubuque, the Keene family, that was part of all that. And really fascinating. A lot of these little towns that wanted to become larger towns ended up wanting to be part of that, and they ended up disappearing. Some of them, there's only two that survived that, where they basically, Quasiquetin, which is an interesting name, I imagine it's Native American, Quasiquetin to Anamosa. And so the only two towns today apparently are Quasiquetin and Prairiesburg. But when this whole thing happened and this Mr. Keene passed away, a lot of, I guess apparently, Quasiquetin Historical Society, when they had done research on this, some the little bit of research that was done on it before, they just attributed its demise to just the car, the automobile coming about.
Yeah.
But it was more than that. The family was wrapped up in this quite a bit. There was donations of land to make this happen. Actually, one of the towns is called Keene, K-I-E-N-E, was Keene, Robinson, Coggin, and Jackson didn't make it. But Quasiquetin, you know, of course, in Anamosa, out there today. So, really interesting.
It's one of those you kind of wonder, okay, well, it made sense at the time. They had cattle they wanted to move and wanted to get them to the stockyards, and this was...
Well, that's it.
That was the convenient, the most cost-effective one.
It was, and if you have enough farmers where they're going to do that and enough people willing to donate the land for it to make this happen, they saw just the vast amount of sales that could be made, you know, in Chicago at the stockyards. They figured that it was worth their while to do that. So, and this type of thing happened on occasion in Iowa, and it was really something that, what's neat about that is these places, these railroads appeared and disappeared out of history. That's what makes them so fascinating. They actually had a tourism component too, or a passenger component too, apparently, and it's kind of neat because they ran passenger cars, and let's see, they had there's a photo in the book, out of the book, number 217 returns, the train had 103 Chicago Anamosa Northern combination freight and passenger cars that the railroad owned in anticipation of increased traffic. So, like a lot of these little towns, they had big aspirations.
Yeah.
And once that railroad came in, I mean, we look at it today like, how can anybody think like that? But it was a different world back then. It was the turn of the century with a lot of this, and they were looking at a bright future, and they didn't know how things would change, you know, 70 or 100 years after all that. So, but it's really a neat talk, I think, and I've never been aware of this at all. So that's going to be Saturday, March 16th, and this Saturday at 2 p.m., and it'll be Zoom connection. If you're interested in having a Zoom connection, just email me, Mike at BSVRR. When I say B, as a B as in boy, S as in Sam, V as in Victor, R as in railroad, and R as in railroad.com. Just email me and ask for a Zoom connection, and I can hook you up a Zoom. And then, of course, it's live also. So we've we've got folks that are going to be visiting too, visitors. So
This is one of the the second of the three that have been the Humanities Iowa National Endowment.
Yeah,
for
and that's the main thing to mention is that it's Humanities Iowa, their division of the National Endowment for Humanities, and so that's what makes it happen. Oh, Gary, by the way, will have books for sale at $25 each. Has a DVD in the back of it, which is kind of neat. And so, so those are for sale. I've only got 6 copies left. Sold a couple the other night.
Already.
So, and then we finish off the year with Don Hussummer and Puddle Jumpers, and we can talk about that too. That'll be Saturday, April 6th at 2 p.m. And Puddle Jumpers, as he calls them, are doodle bugs. And doodle bugs are gas electrics. And the railroads went to gas electrics because it wasn't paying anymore to have full trains and crews and firing up a steam engine that takes hours to get going. So, so that'll be Saturday, April 6th, which happens to be the same day we have what we call our rules class, and that'll be at 7:30 in the morning in the museum. So we'll talk. We're always looking for volunteers. I might as well mention that now.
Yeah,
we're looking for volunteers at the museum. We're looking for train crews, ticket window help, gift shop, grounds, and right away. And special events like Thomas and the Pumpkin Express and Santa Express trained personnel. And so basically in the train crews part of this, every year we have what's called a rules and operations class. And that's for folks that want to be brakemen or they want to become conductors or engineers and stuff like that. So
can't get in that engine and drive?
No, definitely not. So it's a big, heavy piece of equipment, and it's really neat once people get get the feel for it, and it's a fascinating thing. You'll be doing what people have done for 60 or 100 plus years, in a lot of ways. So that's April 6th at 7:30 p.m. And so
now, mostly on your volunteer side, again, that you just touched on, and then the rules could be for anybody, even if they might be looking for working a little more full time. But the most of it is all based around the tourism part of the Scenic Valley.
Yeah. We we're involved in the tourism part. That's where I'm involved in. We have a freight component too, but the tourism section is what I'm involved in. That's where one of the things I do is I get out along with some other volunteers and we go to shows. And when I say shows, I mean sports and RV shows.
Sure.
And so Thursday, February 22nd to the 25th, I was out at Omaha, and that's a super, super big show. It was 4 days.
Okay.
And I almost lost my voice on by the end of the weekend. I was talking to so many people. And so people, some people say, well, everything's so expensive that people aren't doing anything anymore. Well, I found the opposite to be the case. There were people, they were selling campers, and they had an air horn. All I heard this air horn going all
every time one was sold.
All weekend, So loads and loads of people there at the CHI Health Center, if you've ever seen that. Basically, a lot of interest for rail explorers, too, a lot of people were asking about that. And someone that had already said, visitors that had said that they'd ridden those already, and it was surprising, like some of the older folks had ridden them, but their, kids and grandkids hadn't ridden them yet.
They hadn't been there.
So that was really interesting. So then we had a second show, and that was 8th of March to the 10th, I was in Cedar Falls at the Unidome, and then we had incredible crowds there. Saturday we didn't get a break for 6 hours talking to people straight. We were able to just get a little bit of water, but kept going. Sunday was kind of a not so busy because of the Nebraska Big Ten Women's Tournament.
Yeah.
So, of course, Iowa winning in overtime and such. But so that was the... That kind of tapered down Sunday, but Saturday was so incredible, and Friday was really good, too. So those have been good.
To me, the numbers I've seen, you guys are back to pre-pandemic levels.
Oh, yeah,
Tourists coming.
We are. That I can
Thomas,
say.
With things like
with
that.
The surety, yeah. We are. It's, that was a tough time for everybody at that time. And so, as we were... when you deal with people and suddenly you can't have people right next to each other, so you basically have to cut down literally in half or a little more than half the amount of people that could be on a train. So, but we survived it and we're doing great. In fact, I'm looking at a chart here. We had 38,425 people in the museum this past year. So
38,000.
It's a record amount of people that have come to the museum. We started out in 2012. I always plot this for the board. We started with 14,500 people that came in the museum, and we've been growing it. This is the most we've ever had. In 2022, we had 33,255, but we had 38,425. So, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And so people are getting out. One thing, even with my family, no matter what, in terms of cost, when it comes to vacation, that's a sacred thing. You know, you want to get out and spend time with the kids and grandkids. And so that is, I won't say it no matter what it costs, but, you know, because we have to watch a budget.
Sure.
But it's one part where we don't hold back, and we need to spend that
people
quality time
together.
People
want to get out and enjoy themselves, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, but we still have, we're running our Iowa's Railroad Evolution. That came in the later part of last year, so we're going to run that this year again.
Okay.
And 18 graphic panels, 2 kiosks, multiple monitors.
So for those that did make it, you still have a chance to get in there and see.
Yeah, a lot of people have been reading a lot of that and taking part in the interactive modules. We also, for those that may not have been in the museum recently, we have a Jeep 7 control stand, which has been set up. Actually, we had a board member who donated that to us, bought it and donated it. We restored it. And so kids can sit at this thing. They can turn the controls and brake controls and throttle and all that. They can't hurt anything. It's not connected up to anything, but all the lights are on it, and you can hear a radio as part of that, which is really cool. And then, we have our outdoor caboose, the Chicago Northwestern outdoor caboose exhibit. We have that. That's a permanent part of the exhibit. We are currently still waiting for our delivery of our RPO car. That'll happen eventually. And I would say now, within weeks, and then it's going to probably take a couple of years to restore that. So that's been delayed, but I'm, 1 to 2 years, I'm saying it's going to take for us to get that done, because we rely on volunteer help a lot. So, and a lot of those volunteers are doing different things too. So,
well, they come and spend a few hours, or some will spend several hours a week being able to donate time for that. But that's going to be their project.
That's it.
They'll be really tied into that, especially those that have a tie.
And I found a couple of carpenters to redo the doors, recreate the doors that are big, thick oak doors on those. There's like 4 that have to be done. So that's really cool, and that's neat. We also have a railroading merit badge. That's going to be offered. Anybody who belongs to a Boy Scout troop interested in earning their railroading merit badge in 2024, it'll happen. This year's classes will take place on Saturday, June 8th, and Saturday, July 13th. And space is limited, so just email info@bsvrr.com or call the number 515-432-4249. And that's for our Boy Scout Merit Badge Workshop, which has really been popular over the years. They actually get a badge and a patch, and it's pretty intense. They actually get these booklets and everything. It's really cool. They show them a lot of neat stuff.
I didn't know we had a railroad merit badge when I was in Scouts. Relatively recent.
Well, Bill Dizell, one of our volunteers, has been heading that up for years now, and he really loves doing it. I mean, they learn about everything from signals to just all sorts of stuff, you know, that they would never be exposed to. And that's really good things. Maybe that's something that might some days, you know, then maybe they'll think about working for a railroad if they learn about all this type of stuff. We also have a CTC. Centralized control panel, neglected to mention that. Switchboard that lights up that kids can flip the switches on and things like that. I had a kid last year, a boy, who said, "I just flipped the switch. Did I run something off the track?" I said, "No, it's fine. He didn't do anything."
You could have said, "Oh, no."
Yeah. So it all looks so real because it's actually the real equipment that they used back then. And then we had an enormous donation about a year and a half of books for our library. So one of our dear volunteers, Barb Dietz, Kathy Eddy, Eric Fogg, have reworked all that library. And so we've distilled things down. duplicates of any kind were removed and things like that. So we've got a really, our library is really toned up, and it's pretty incredible to see now. I wish we could bust the walls out and make it larger, but we can't.
Well, there's that.
at least for now, anyway.
Well, there is that, all that, and we knew probably back in 2012, you know, this will get us started, but at some point.
Yeah. Someday,
again, the amount of traffic coming in does generate
it does.
More interest.
It does. The beginning of school tours is happening now. We've got, I've just mentioned some names, Gilmore City, Bradgate, South Hamilton, Dayton, Farnhamville, some bank tours already, retirement parties, senior tours so far. And but we can always book more. I mean, we're going to have a lot more, I'm sure, than that. So that's just the beginning. And then towards the end of the year, of course, fall, that type of thing, there's field trips and things.
So. Oh, you get a ton of stuff. And then you're going to have specials. And, hey,
yeah,
we also have the Farm Progress Show that'll show up this year that'll bring more people
in. It will.
And Thomas.
Yeah, it will. And Thomas, of course, Thomas this year is going to be, let's see here, September 7th, 8th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. So... one thing I didn't mention, we still have some tickets available for our Easter Bunny Express on Saturday, March 23rd, and that'll be at 10 a.m. There's some tickets left for that, and we also have some tickets left for our Sunset Barbecue Train, which has been really, really busy, and so that actually is got a couple dates left in March for that, where there's some openings, and April dates, so a person could ride, and they get everything from pulled pork sandwiches, smoked chicken, smoked brisket, smoked portobello mushrooms, vegetarian, and then sides, and then a dessert with all that. So that's something that we've been doing now the last few years, and it's been pretty popular. So, and then Saturday, April 27th and November 2nd, we have our motor car days. We do that every year. And Tom Crooks Memorial Auto Show on July 14th. And then when it comes to October, our Pumpkin Express in October. So that's kind of a that's things that we've done in the past, but we're always adding new things to them. So
I was going to say that, and I know we've talked a lot about the tourism type things, and yes, you've expanded some offerings on there. We do some dinner trains and stuff like that. It stays very busy. But I did want to go back and touch a little bit on your capital campaign, because you guys did very well on that, and you had set goals and things you were working on, on both the tourism side and the freight side.
Sure, yeah. We've ended up, our addition is built. Offices have been there working now for the last year or over that, and
really opened up the gift shop area.
Yeah, yep. And so that's been a good thing. It's also helped a lot with when it comes to people seating in the wintertime. I noticed at Christmas time it gets to be crazy around there. If you've ever seen how busy looks in the lobby, and so
real busy.
There was luckily because the depot's longer now. There's places for people to sit there.
Okay.
Which is really good, and so that was a really welcome addition. So those couple of things, we put money towards the track. Our steam locomotive is up and running again. Yep. Thanks to that, we're gonna do some future painting of it, which needs to happen. But it's at the very end of last year, it finally got up and going. It had been down for 6 years. And if anybody doesn't realize how labor-intensive a steam locomotive is, there's a reason why they don't make them anymore. And the reason is that they're extremely labor-intensive, and they've got a million moving parts to them. And so when the COVID epidemic hit, people weren't getting raw materials, and that included us for that. And so that was down for longer than we wanted it to be because of that. You have to – every 1,472 every 15 years, basically, of operating running time, you have to take it down, and you have to get to the boiler, and you've got to ultrasound the boiler. You got to replace the tubes. But 1,472 days of running, and so that's how it is. You can't run a steam engine unless...
That's the law.
Yeah, that's the law. I mean, so after that happened, we had a person overlooking who was part of the steam program from the Union Pacific for years. And so then the FRA comes, they check everything. And
for those that have wondered why that hasn't been out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally, it's amazing. Here you see all the work that goes into steam locomotive, And then, and you have to be perfect with it. And it shocks me. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, then you got Boeing who's got a door that falls off an airplane, you know, which is amazing. So it's interesting. So, but a lot more parts, moving parts to something like that than a lot of things that you'd ever see today. So, so people are happy that that's up and going.
Yep. Go back to the volunteer opportunities now. Mm-hmm. Again, we've got this is the time of the year. Yes, people, if you're interested in becoming a part, finding out more, learning about it, learning the rules, if you want to do anything on the train itself. Again, what are we talking about? Dates, times, who do they contact?
Right. That would be Melissa at the railroad. She's our volunteer coordinator. And people can volunteer from everything from front desk at the museum, greeting people, giving tours if they wish. You'll be trained for that. Train crews, whether it be conductor, passenger, or brakemen, or you know whatever it may be, firemen, ticket window, people that work the ticket window selling tickets, people that work in the gift shop, grounds and right away, because grounds are an important thing too. People don't realize how much it takes to do keep up trimming trees or building things, you know, and trimming weeds and so on. So that's another thing. We have a little garden on the north side of the museum that we've been. That I'm amazed that we got it going, but we did.
It is the neatest thing, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of labor involved in that. I won't say I've never been, you know, any award-winning gardener by any stretch, but luckily we have good people, you know, like John Vilmain, for example, who's been of great help, you know, and some of these other folks that have been helping out with that. So if it weren't for them, I don't know what we would do for that. And then special events, you know, whether it be day out with Thomas, the Pumpkin Express, or the Santa Express. You know, if you like to get out and visit with people and greet people and just find out who they are, and just it's a great way to get out, and you know, especially if you have time on your hands. But Melissa would be the person to talk to, and you just call our regular number for that.
So, again, it is that time of the year we're starting to get things up because we're going to, well, already you're busy.
Yeah.
The Easter train coming up, and yet still, but again, it's really going to continue to build through the summertime as well.
It does.
And it's nice to have several people that will come in and be able to take turns doing things.
Yeah, I never have any downtime. Even in the off season, people are like, well, you guys aren't open at this time. You must have a lot of time. No, that's the only time I have to catch up.
There you go.
Basically.
Big thing we want to remind folks, especially railroad enthusiasts, Gary Holtzinger will be the guest speaker presenter this Saturday at 2 o'clock. And again, there's a Zoom option on this if you're one of those that I'm not going to be able to make it there, but I'd like to watch it. You can get a hold of Mike at BSVRR.com. Shoot him an email. Call them if you have to, and say, "Send me here's."
And that's what people do, and a lot of people. B as in boy, S as in Sam, V as in Victor, R as in railroad, and R as in railroad.com. I always mention that because some people say, is it VS? No, it's BSVRR for Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad. Yep. Mike at BSVRR.com.
Anyway, the program's 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and you can learn. If you want to get a whole bunch of extra things, just have convince Gary to talk a little about the Milwaukee Road, too.
Oh, yes. You know Gary enough. Yeah. That's good because he's got other books out, too. So
again, you can check that out. That's this weekend free at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, James H. Andrew Railroad Museum. And then Don Hoff Summer,
coming up
in
also.
April.
Yep,
in April. So we only had four programs scheduled this year.
We're trying to keep it to something that's more manageable. I had as many as six, you know that in the past.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah,
that one was.
Don will be fun too.
Anyway, this has not been bad. Started out with the winter weather.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Yeah,
and then Doug Nebbe was in there, and I know. That would be interesting talking about the Milwaukee
Road.
We
had over 60 people there just for Doug's, which was incredible. I didn't have enough chairs set up, so it was really amazing.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
Once again, Mike Wendell's been our guest on the program today. And again, mostly we're talking about just the tourism aspect of what's going on, Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, if you'd like to be a volunteer, things like that. But they also have so many other things that they continue to work on as well. Mike, thanks for taking time to come and visit with us.
Thank you.
Have a great presentation on Saturday.
Okay, thank you.